exposition of the book of Romans. I'm going to start off in chapter 1 and verse 1, and Lord willing, we'll go in the book of Romans as long as the Spirit leads me that way. And I want us to take a look at what Paul said and the way he said it, and the things that he said that we are to apply to ourselves directly. It may seem to you that I go very slow, but there's method in my madness. I want us to thoroughly digest what this man had to say, because one day, as children of God, we're going to have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an answer for our lives here on this earth. So we're going to begin Paul's epistle to the church at Rome, naturally with the very first verse, and we're going to begin with the very first phrase in that verse. In Romans 1 and 1, the very first phrase, he begins by saying, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. I think one of the most important things that Paul kept trying to get across in his entire ministry was that he was a servant, a doulos. And that is the thing that most children of God have the greatest problem with. They will not accept what they are, and regardless of whether you accept it or not, you are still a doulos. Every child of God was saved to be a doulos and is a doulos, whether they acknowledge it or not. Now, the God-breathed word for doulos means a slave. Some people object to that. They said, I'm not a slave. I am. And there's only one man in all of creation to whom it would be the greatest honor that could be bestowed to be his slave, and that man is Jesus Christ. And so I don't mind being his slave, because he's the only man who ever lived who is God and who knows all things. And to be a slave of Christ is the greatest honor that I could ever have achieved in all of eternity. I love being a slave. I want to be a slave. And I want to be an obedient slave to Christ, because he's the only master who ever lived who was completely worthy. So when Paul said he is a doulos of Jesus Christ, a servant, the word doulos from Strong's Greek Dictionary of the New Testament states, a slave, a bondservant, may be involuntary or voluntary, frequently, therefore, in a qualified sense of subjection. You have a choice after you're saved, but the choice is not whether or not you are a slave, a bondservant. The choice is whether you are willing to acknowledge it, whether you are willing to accept it, and whether or not you are willing to be a good bond servant. All saved men and women are doulos, servants, bondservants, slaves. All saved men and women are doulos, bought and paid for bond servants. We were bought off the slave block from the ownership of the devil and placed as doulos, bondservants, in the work of our new master, Jesus Christ. The price of our freedom from the devil's ownership was the blood of our new master. If you claim to be saved, you are a bondservant, and the only choice you have is, am I going to acknowledge it? Am I going to praise God that I am a bondservant? And am I going to fulfill the role that I am in by my own choice, by my own voluntary subjection to the will of my master who bought and paid for me with his own blood? People are always saying, I'm looking for my role in life. I'm trying to find myself. Well, I found myself after I was saved, and I found what I am. A bought and paid for bond servant whose price has already been paid. And whether I acknowledge it or not, whether I accept it or not, when I received Christ as my Savior, I am a doulos. And I love it. I found myself in life. I found the purpose of life. I found why I'm here. But it's up to each individual to find the truths in God's Word and to acknowledge what he is, or to deny it, and to live a life for himself. But he is still a child of God, he is still a bondservant, whether he fulfills the role or acknowledges it. 1 Corinthians 6:20. Paul wrote very plainly, the man who said, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, in 1 Corinthians 6:20, tells us very plainly, and if you claim to be a child of God, this applies to you. For ye are bought with a price. The price was the blood of Christ. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Which are God's because you were bought with a price. And God says, now, bondservant, I want you to voluntarily do something. You're my servant. You belong to me. I bought and I paid for you. Therefore, since you are bought with that price, therefore, since you are a bondservant, therefore, which you are bought and paid for by my son's blood, therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit. That's why you ought to come to church. That's why you ought to give. That's why you ought to worship God. That's why you ought to make your life count for something by being a good bondservant to Jesus Christ. To be a doulos of Christ is to be a man set free to make a choice. When you're saved, you're set free. You're set free by the blood of Christ. You're paid for it. But you're set free to make a choice. You say, well, that's the craziest thing I ever heard of, a free slave. You are a free slave. But you're still his slave, and you're free to choose whether or not you're going to acknowledge it and to make your life count for something and to exercise the choice that he gives all of his slaves, his bondservants, to make that choice. To be a doulos of Christ is to be a man set free to make a choice. What is that choice? This is fellowship with God. A good servant, a good bondservant, a good slave, and a lot of people object to that word, but I don't object to it as long as it applies to being a slave of Christ, is one who maintains fellowship with his master. How do you maintain fellowship with your master? You keep on looking for ways to try to please him and to find out what his will is for your life and to read and study and want to understand more of his word, which are the instructions that he gave to all of us bondservants to show us how we could please him. So what is that choice that every saved person has to recognize who and what you are and to fulfill that role by Christ's indwelling power? You've got the power, and your master gave you that, and you have the ability to please him. And right there in this marvelous, wonderful book we call the Scriptures, the Bible, the Word of God, are all the instructions on what you are to do to be a good bondservant. But that's your choice. Do I want to be an obedient bondservant, or do I want to be a disobedient bondservant? The Lord saved you. He called you to freely choose to serve him. It's your choice. As we yield to the service he has called us to do, we abide in fellowship with him. For a doulos, not to serve his master, is to be out of fellowship, out of favor with him. You can't lose your salvation. And he's going to take you to heaven, and you're going to stay there forever. But I tell you, that for a doulos, a child of God, not to serve his master is to be out of fellowship, out of favor with him. Would you like a practical example of it? Why is it that every time I go to visit a family, man and wife, let's say, who are doulos, they're saved, they're bought again, they know it, they're bought with a price, and I say, we miss you at church. Why do they always give me this answer? I know I ought to be there. Do you think that's their own thinking in the flesh? No. It is their master letting them know, come on, I want to have fellowship with you. I want you to come where my spirit is. The Spirit of God indwells each individual believer. But the Spirit of God also indwells each local church where his word is still preached and taught.
And if you want to have fellowship with Him, you've got to have it in the place of His choosing, which is His church. And the reason you feel bad when you don't go to church is because you are a servant of God who is out of favor with Him because you won't acknowledge what you are and willfully fulfill the role of a bondservant that was bought and paid for with the blood of Christ. And that's the reason you feel bad when you don't go to church. It's because you're out of fellowship with God. Not out of spiritual union with God. Not unsaved, not lost, but out of fellowship with God. And you can't stay in fellowship with God as one of His children unless you're worshiping in the place that God designated. It's impossible. You can't do it. 1 Corinthians 7:22-24. We're talking about doulos and what Paul said in Romans 1:1. 1 Corinthians 7:22-24. For he that is called in the Lord, when God's Holy Spirit called and beckoned to me to receive the gift of God that is offered through the blood of Christ, I accepted that call. I put my faith in the one of whom the call testified, the Lord Jesus Christ and His shed blood. And I'm called in the sense of past tense in that I've received it. For he that is called in the Lord, and then it gives you a state of your condition. Being a servant, that same word, doulos, is the Lord's free man. I was set free many, many, many years ago when I was 12 years old, when I trusted Jesus Christ, and I was set free. I don't have to serve Christ. I don't have to go to church. I don't have to preach. I don't have to do any of this. But God set me free. God set me free and put His Spirit inside me, and His Spirit said, now, you be a good servant. How do you do that? Likewise, also he that is called, being free, is Christ's servant. You freely answer the call of God's Spirit after you're saved, and that unction inside you that lets you know you ought to be in church is God's Spirit saying, I love you, come down to this church building, meet with these people, and fellowship one with another with them, and in so doing you fellowship with me. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's free man. Likewise also he that is called, being free, is Christ's servant. So many people look at a church and they see all the things in it and they say, oh, that's just a bunch of hypocrites down there. Well, come on down and join us. That's the whole world is made up of nothing but hypocrites, and you fit right in. And they find all the different ways, reasons for not coming to church. There is no reason for not coming to church except you don't want the fellowship with Christ. You want the fellowship with the world, and you enjoy the things of the world, your job, your pleasures, your family, your friends. You enjoy them more than you enjoy fellowshipping with God's people, which is direct fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, one to another. Ye are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. That's your choice. You can either serve mammon, what men have to offer, what the world has to offer, what your job has to offer, what your friends have to offer, what your profession has to offer, what your degree and achievement in the world is. You can go ahead as a child of God and you can serve men. But you can't serve men and stay in the fellowship of God, for ye are bought with a price. You were bought with a price as a slave off the slave block, and you are not supposed to be the servants of men. Brethren, verse 24, let every man wherein he is called, therein abide with God. What does it mean, therein abide with God? You are. What is the choice? To recognize who and what you are, and to fulfill that role by Christ's indwelling power. As we yield to the service He has called us to do, we abide in fellowship with Him. When you recognize what you are, and you see that price that was paid, and you in thanksgiving, like the leper that returned to give thanks to God for his cleansing, and you turn to God and say, I love being a servant. I want to be your servant. What you did for me, I can never repay. But I do want to be your servant because you're my master and I love you and I want to show my love. Brethren, let every man wherein he is called, you claim to be called, therein abide with God. Why? For you are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's free man. Likewise also that he is called, being free, is Christ's servant. The most damnable heresy today the most damnable heresy of all, is to deny the blood of Christ as the all-sufficient price of total redemption. Oh, they'll tell you in many churches, yes, it's the blood of Christ that cleanses us from all unrighteousness. But it's not the all-sufficient price in their teaching. Something else has to be added. Baptism, church attendance, membership. You were set free when you received Christ. The most damnable heresy of all is to deny the blood of the Christ as the all-sufficient price for our total redemption. Any attempt to add to, take away, or supplement the blood of our Savior with any other requirement, whether it be church membership, church attendance, or baptism, for our complete salvation is rank heresy. Any attempt to add to, take away, or supplement the blood of our Savior with any other requirement for our complete salvation is rank heresy. Christ bought and paid for us with His own blood. To deny that this is the full price. Oh, some will tell you, yeah, it's part of the price, but it's the full price. To deny this is the full price is to deny Him. 1 Peter 2 and 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, and God knows there are more of them today than at any other time in history. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false prophets among you. And they're all over this town and all over this world right now, and some of them are meeting in church buildings. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies. And here's the damnable heresy. Even denying the Lord that bought them. You say, well, every one of these churches preaches Jesus crucified. Every one of them tells us Jesus died for our sins. But they deny it as the full price. They deny it as a complete price. They deny it as a total price. They add to it other requirements. They do not believe it is the all-sufficient price. And the damnable heresy, even denying the Lord that bought them, is to deny it is the full, complete, all-sufficient price. Damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And when they die, immediately when they open their eyes, they will find themselves in a burning hell because they did not trust in the total redemptive price that was paid by the blood of our Savior. For as 1 Peter 1, 18 through 23. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, if you're saved, you're a bondservant. And that's what paid the price. As of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory. Why? That your faith and hope might be in God. If your faith is in your baptism, it's not in God. If it's in your church membership, it's not in God. If it's in how many times you come to church, it's not in God. If it's how many works you need to do before God will accept you, it's not in God. But your faith and hope is only in God if it's in the only price that He sent, the only price He will accept, the total, complete price of salvation, the shed blood and torn flesh and life of His Son offered up from you. And if you add to it or take away from it, you neither know Him nor have received Him. Brothers and sisters in Christ, it's Jesus and nothing else. Why? That your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. You're a doulos. You're bought and paid for servant. Now God says, I want you to voluntarily do something. It's up to you. This is the way you show your love for God. This is the way you prove to yourself that you love Him. See that ye. Here's the role of a bondservant. It's called fellowship with God. See that ye. He said, be sure to do this. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. The greatest thing in a New Testament church is the Spirit of God, and the greatest attribute that He sends forth to men is His love, and the love of God permeated in the hearts of church members one for another, so they do not murmur and complain and talk about one another and chop one another up, but in love and compassion for the cause of Christ and for the work of Christ, come together and assemble with a love of God that was cast abroad in their hearts when they were saved, and they realize that they're nothing but a bondservant. If we all look upon ourselves as bondservants, how can we think of ourselves more highly than we ought when we can never see ourselves as any more than a bondservant? And how can one bondservant feel that he is any greater than the other? For we are all the servants of Christ, bought and paid for with a price. And such a church is filled with love and compassion for Christ. So it means a great deal to maintain fellowship with God. And you maintain fellowship with God by maintaining fellowship with His local visible body, the New Testament church. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. That same word of God that you believed when you understood the words of Christ, as He said, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." You realized you were lost. You realized you were a sinner. You realized you did not belong to God. And your heart was filled with condemnation and guilt. And finally you came to Christ. And He applied that precious blood that was the price that bought you off the block, the auction block, and took you out of the kingdom of darkness of Satan and transplanted you into the kingdom of light. And there He dwells in your heart by grace through faith. But it's all by the word of God. And by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever, you can rest assured that you are a bought and paid for doulos. By the same word that saved you, the same word teaches you what you are after you're saved. And until you come to realize it and acknowledge it, your life is going to be miserable because you're going to be out of fellowship with God and you're going to think you're a little better than the average bear. And none of us are a little better than the average bears. We're all a bunch of average bears. And the quicker we learn that, the more likely we are to think less highly of ourselves. So as a born-again child of God, what choice do you have as a set-free doulos of God? Here it is. And whatsoever you do, that's written to children of God. That's written to doulos. You want to be a doulos? Do it heartily as unto the Lord. People leave churches because they didn't get the proper recognition or they weren't treated right. Well, if you're doing things from the heart, from the psyche, from the soul to the Lord, you're not doing it to men. You're not going to quit coming to church because you don't like the preacher, because you don't like the other people, or somebody hurt your little old feelings, or you're not going to wear your feelings on your shirt sleeve because you see what you are. You're a servant, and your role is to do what you do for the Lord. Why? Knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance. Who do you think is going to get the reward of the inheritance in heaven after the judgment seat of Christ? Who do you think is going to get the greatest reward? The answer is obvious. Those who realized what they were, servants, and spent their lifetime seeking to please their master, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance. And whatsoever ye do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. And here is what fellowship with the Lord is. Doing it for Him from the soul and not for praise, recognition, attention, or money. Why? Here's fellowship. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance. The one with whom you maintain fellowship as a doulos, as being a good servant after you were saved, is the one who's going to reward you in heaven, not men. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that's your unfaithful servant, that's the one who wouldn't acknowledge what he was, even though he was that, never will be anything else. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. Well, would you like to know exactly what that is, precisely? Why would you want to know? Whatever it is, you don't want it. Why not acknowledge to God this morning what you are? Why not admit what you are to God? And why not put your life and your heart where it belongs? Most of you sitting here have been saved for a long time. You need a church home. If you haven't been saved, oh my friend, we can tell you how to be saved and we can show you. Make no mistake about it. It's very simple. You just put all your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's alive. You see yourself as what you are, a helpless, lost sinner. And Jesus exercises what He came for. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost, and He alone can save you. And you ask Jesus Christ to save you, and He does. But most of you here have already done that. Your heart and your life needs to be in the place that God designated. Your heart and your life needs to be in His church, His local visible body. That's where the servants of God are supposed to meet. That's where those who realize they are bondservants put their lives and their hearts. I ask you today, child of God, where is your heart? And for those of you who might not know Christ, do you want Him to come in and live in you forever? We're going to have a silent moment of prayer. Thank God I can't save you. This church can't save you. And thank God you can't save yourself. But in this silent moment of prayer, if you want to be saved, you know that you're lost. All that God requires is that you trust His Son and the price that He paid for your sins. Ask Him to save you. He's alive. And believe that He will keep His promise. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For those others here in this silent moment, I hope you'll turn to God in your heart and ask God to forgive you for not being the kind of a doulos, for not realizing what you were. And today you'll put your heart and your life where it belongs and where God's Spirit wants you to be.